The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Can't wait, Bart Scott boys. The Chiefs are looking to get back to the big dance but vindicate their last appearance in Tampa. Oddsmakers have Kansas City as the favorite to win it at SoFi. RC, would you take the Chiefs or the field to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going to take the Chiefs. Now, if you asked me this question at the beginning of the season when there's 31 other teams, then I would say the field because we don't really know what's going on. But of the four teams that are left in the playoffs, and also you look at the Cincinnati Bengals being their AFC championship opponent, I expect them to win that game. And I'm picking Los Angeles to beat San Francisco. And if they do that, I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs to beat them as well. It's not as hard to make this decision right now. But when you look at the game that they just played and Himbo from on Get Up came up with a stat. I think teams that played in a wild card of divisional rounds in an overtime game are 7-18 or something like that the next week. But the Chiefs are going to win. The Chiefs are prepared for this moment. When you win a game in the fashion that they did, when the other team is playing as well as the other team is, when the Buffalo Bills, like, that sets you apart. Like that, like that's different. And you're moving on to play a football team that even though they beat you in week 17, I believe you're better than. And so I believe that Patrick Mahomes wins this game. I believe that Patrick Mahomes gets another Super Bowl ring and another Super Bowl MVP. And we start to speak about him differently because it's the Chiefs over the field as it stands.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well, yeah, RC, you believe that the Chiefs are better than the Bengals, but the Bengals don't believe that, right? The Bengals don't believe that in their heart of hearts and soul of souls. And they don't believe that
Buffalo
based off of history, right? Just a few weeks ago. And they also don't believe that just based off of who they are as a football team. I mean, you even said it yourself. You would say that they are more talented, at least have more offensive weapons, what you said earlier, than the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's, yeah, skill players. And that's true. Like, that's hands down true, right? I don't know who is going to guard Ja'Marr Chase, right? I don't know who's going to try to stop him. You got T. Higgins. I mean, we can go down the list. So for me, I would take the field. And the reason why is not because, you know, at the beginning of the season, you didn't know. And now I think now you actually have an argument to be made for each one of those teams. Our argument is obvious for the Bengals, right? They just beat them. Offensive firepower, Joe Burrow, et cetera. That's an obvious argument. I think the Bengals are going to win. Then you go to the L.A. Rams side. L.A. Rams, the argument is obvious there as well. With Matthew Stafford, it could be their year. With the weapons defensively, you've got the best defensive tackle in the game. One of the best outside linebackers over the last decade in Von Miller. You have the best DB, or one of the best, if you want to argue it, in the game in Jalen Ramsey. And then on the offensive side, Odell, et cetera, et cetera. Cooper Kupp, et cetera. And then for the Rams, or excuse me, then for the 49ers, you're not making the quarterback argument, but for that team, you're making the argument of, man, this is the hottest team in football right now, the team that nobody wants to face. If they make it back to the Super Bowl, maybe they'll avenge their loss from a few years ago. So I think there's an argument that could be made for each and every one of those teams. So I'm not taking the Chiefs by any means. I'm taking the field.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes. I'm taking the Chiefs because of that. Because of examples like that play with Tyreek Hill where Patrick Mahomes hit him in the middle of the field and then he outran the whole damn team. I mean, this brother just puts on that backpack, brother, and just zooms. I mean, he is something special. He is something spectacular. And Travis Kelce, my brother from another mother, the one with the impeccable decision-making, that brother right there shows up as well. And listen, Pringle and others, we know what they're capable of doing. What I would say to you, Sam, is this. I don't blame you for expressing the trepidation that you've expressed because at the beginning of the season, Ryan, to bring back what you were alluding to, the Kansas City's defense, Chiefs defense, was trash. It was horrible. It was god-awful. Yeah. We know that. And then they hit a switch. They made a move. You acquired Melvin Ingram. You got some pieces there. Switched up through more defensive backs into your secondary, obviously. And from the time they went up against Tennessee thereafter, throughout most of the season, they did their thing, and it's been very impressive. Then they went up against Cincinnati during the regular season and gave up 475 yards offensively and 34 points. Their pass defense is horrid, and you can throw the football on them. I believe the Chiefs are going to win this game, but I believe it's going to be eerily similar to what happened last week against Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes and that offense, led by Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, who should be, if Mr. Nathaniel Hackett can be a head coach, Eric Bieniemy should be a head coach, okay? I mean, those two dudes, along with the personnel that they have on that offense, I can see a shootout. And that shootout, to me, ultimately goes to Patrick Mahomes, even going up against the great Joe Burrow. I just don't believe for one second that Kansas City's defense is all of a sudden going to shut somebody down. Now, I see over 30 by both teams in this game.
I mean, that can happen. Listen, let me just say this. The first game. Oh, go ahead, Ash. You got it.
Well, I just want to make a quick point because a lot of people are pointing to the way the game ended against the Bills, right? Bad clock management and how that went down and how the Chiefs won that one. Even pointed to the way that the game ended with the Cowboys, 14 seconds left. But if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, not only are they the least penalized team in the NFL, but even more so, the way that they've handled the clock in critical situations is different than these other teams. We saw the Bills do what no one would expect and mess up on a – didn't do a squib kick, and then with 13 seconds, you leave stuff wide open. In week 17, when the Chiefs played the Bengals, the Bengals had the ball with 6 minutes left, and they took the ball all the way down the field. Then they had the ball at the 11-yard line with 3 minutes left. Kansas City did not touch the ball again in that time period. And you know who won? The Bengals won. That's a huge win. Same with Tennessee last week. It came down to the last second of the game. And so when it comes to clock management, decision-making, who's the wiser team, you cannot just say that the Bengals aren't going to do it well because they've done it well every single time.
Yep, and they beat them week 17.
Go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry. I think my argument isn't that the Cincinnati Bengals aren't capable. It's that the Kansas City Chiefs are more capable. Yes, we watched them lose in week 17, but you mentioned having the ball on the goal line with 3 minutes left. There was also penalties, right? Zach Taylor also went for it on the fourth down where Joe Mixon didn't get into the end zone, but there was a pass interference. And so there were so many things that went into that. There was also, I have to admit, it was great play by the Cincinnati Bengals secondary and defense in the second half that only allowed the Kansas City Chiefs to score 3 points. I'm not expecting that to happen again. And so whereas it could be a shootout where the game will be close, in the end, I believe Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, those guys being in these moments before, which won't be too big for Joe Burrow, I believe that experience is different. And I think that's why Kansas City Chiefs ultimately finished this game as the winner.
I'll defer to them about their football knowledge. Somebody like Sam Acho needs to defer to me when it comes to television. For example, when you're home, Sam Acho, and you have a TV that you're watching, you make sure it's above the camera as opposed to your right, so you're not looking off camera. You're looking at the
just there he goes, you know, man.
That. Let's go.
Golly,
I appreciate
man.
That. I'm using a new iPad today. I got a new system. I
take
got
the
set
TV
up,
or the iPad
that,
and put it above
brother.
The camera. Above the camera. So you're looking straight at your audience, and they know you mean what you say.
Oh, my gosh. It. When's the consulting business starting?
Anytime I want.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Acho, you're doing great.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Ben Roth Roethlisberger officially called it a career yesterday. RC, did you hear what Stephen A. said about that, by the way? It's very rude. In a video posted on Twitter, the two-time Super Bowl winning Steeler quarterback thanked his coaches, family, fans, and teammates. Big Ben spent his entire 18-year career in Pittsburgh, making that the longest career for a quarterback spent with one franchise in NFL history. He's one of the league's all-time great passers, ranking top 10 in wins, pass yards, and TDs. It's the end of an era. RC, before you answer this question, seriously though, did you see when we had breaking news on the show what his response was, this longtime Steelers fan? It was
I didn't see what he said.
Okay, this is what happened. I was like, Stephen A., breaking news, your quarterback, 18 years, Big Ben, future Hall of Famer, Iron Man, extends the play better than anybody, as tough as can be. He's officially hanging it up. And he said, Ryan Clark, on national television, thank God. Not thank you, thank God. Okay.
Like sometimes, man.
I need to remind everybody of that, because he's a different cat, RC. He is.
Yeah, I look at Stephen A. and he wants to talk about me because I played a year in Washington after leaving Pittsburgh. But he's the most fair weather Pittsburgh Steelers fan that's ever lived. When things are great, he loves them and he supports them. And then if things dip a little bit or they're down or they aren't a team in the Super Bowl, he just absolutely crushes the team and turns his back on them. His reporting is completely, his analysis is completely biased, as in if they make him feel good, he says good things about him. If they hurt him,
what?
he says bad things about him. And I just don't understand.
Are you lying on me on national television? Are you lying on me on national television?
That's why I changed from reporting. That's why I changed from reporting to analysis.
Oh, it sounded like you said both.
He meant analysis.
It sounded like you said both. Okay, all right, go ahead.
He's been on TV for like 80 hours. Give him a break.
Okay, I'm about to get on him. Go ahead.
He probably has stiff hip flexors from sitting so long doing television.
I've actually been stretching over here. But you know what, though? I'm going to say this, though. You know, let's get it away from Stephen A. and mess it about with him.
Yes, Big Ben's legacy.
For Big Ben, I think... Yeah, for Big Ben, I think he's the greatest quarterback that's ever played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know there are going to be people that watch football in the 70s and talk about Terry Bradshaw and those four Super Bowls, but I just think what Big Ben did was different. Big Ben didn't consistently have all of the Hall of Famers that Terry Bradshaw had. Big Ben was a guy who went through different phases in his career. He dealt with adversity off the field, some brought on by himself, but he came through all those things, made himself a better man. And in making himself a better man, he was a better quarterback. He went from a guy who was a part of a team that won a Super Bowl to a dude that helped the team win a Super Bowl to a guy that was a franchise quarterback that was the main reasons they won games. And nobody played the position tougher than Big Ben. And that's why that's his nickname, not just because of his size, but because of the presence that he had on the field. And so I know I don't have a Super Bowl ring without him. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers organization the last 18 years aren't what they are without Big Ben. And I think sometimes when players play as long as he did, you forget what they once were. And you view him for what you last saw him as. And that still was a guy who was a playoff caliber quarterback, a quarterback that led a team that wasn't necessarily that great to the playoffs. And, you know, they lost the game, but it wasn't because he didn't have effort. It wasn't because he didn't put all he had into it. It was just because it was time. And when you do as much as he's done, it's okay to hang him up. It's okay to take care of your kids and run around and be dad and be a husband. But make no mistake about it, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He deserves all the respect, all the love that we've given him throughout the stretch of the end of this year. And the Pittsburgh Steelers will miss that dude being around the building, being in the huddle, and being on the field. So will I, and so will many of the fans.
You finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. I don't disagree with one single word you said about Big Ben Roethlisberger. Not one. And 24 hours later, in the same chair, on national television, I'll say it again. Thank God. Thank God he's retiring. Because it's not disrespectful to Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm not talking to y'all, but I'm being very serious here. As a world, as a sports world, we need to grow up. We need to grow up. Ben Roethlisberger is a two-time Super Bowl champion who went to three Super Bowls, who was Big Ben, who was famous for shrugging off tacklers, extending plays, and throwing and flinging that football all over the field. Obviously, he benefited to some degree from the Steelers having pretty good defenses along the way, but it doesn't take away from what he did as a quarterback and as a leader, and how he evolved over the years and resurrected his life, not just on the field, but off the field. I love and respect Big Ben Roethlisberger, but that's why I say thank God, because that's not what I was seeing over the last couple of years, and it was holding up the franchise. Now, granted, it wasn't all his fault because of Mason Rudolph and the likes of Dwayne Haskins and them on my fallback. I'm going to beg Ben Roethlisberger to stay on, too, if I'm Colbert or I'm Tomlin or I'm the Rooneys. Of course I am, because that's my best option. But that doesn't mean it was a great option. It means it was something that I had to accept because I had nothing better available to me. He was 39 years old. He had elbow issues that he had to overcome. He was immobile. He was a stationary target. And they were limited with what they could do offensively because he was behind center. We looked at the greatness of Muhammad Ali, man. Did you like seeing him in the ring against Larry Holmes? I don't think you did. I don't think anybody who knows boxing did, right? I'll tell y'all a personal story. Shaquille O'Neal was a Boston Celtic. Had calf strains and foot issues and all of this other stuff, man. We watched that brother walk off the court during the game at one moment. My man Mark Stevens, Uncle Jerome, and other family members with tears in their eyes had to go to that brother and be like, yo, man, it's time. And then, you know, that's my man. And I had to say to him, it's time. We ain't forget he a four-time champion. We ain't forget that he's one. It was arguably the most dominant force we've ever seen in our lifetime this side of Wilt Chamberlain. We didn't forget all of that. What we said is, but that's not the case anymore. We will love you. We will revere you. We will respect you. We will deify you. We will honor you. We will do all of those things when it's over. But at this moment, it needs to be over. That is what we saw on numerous occasions with Big Ben Roethlisberger. That's all I'm saying.
Right, I don't disagree with any of that. And while the season was going on, I said those things, right? Because my job is to analyze football and the way that a person's play affects their football team.
Sure.
So during those situations, when I had to come on First Take and talk about it, if I had to pick other teams, I did that. But in this sense, you just said, when Shaq hung it up, or you said when it was going to be time for him to hang it up, the way you would speak about him would make sure you remembered what he always was, right? And what he used to be, not as what he is. And when the news breaks and you get the opportunity to do that, that's not what you did. What you did was, by saying thank God, is you remembered him as you last saw him. You remembered him after the blowout in Kansas City.
Totally.
You didn't give him all the things that you said that you would give Shaq when he retired.
Time out. Because I'm going to do it for weeks and months and years to come for the remainder of his days. But in the immediate moment, while everybody else is inclined to wear their pom-poms, celebrating what he was, I'm like, damn. Because 2 years ago, I was like, I need you to go now. You said a year ago, I need you to go now. And now I'm looking at the Steelers. I'm like, where's your contingency plan? You can't depend on them and expect to have a season.
That's a different conversation, Stephen A.
No. I'm not saying that it's not a different conversation. I'm saying that's for y'all. My whole point is, Ben going to be on TV next year, I think, if he chooses to. I mean, he's going to be around. We're going to see him in Steelers game. We're going to see something. And we will revere him for years and years to come because he deserves it and he's earned it. But as Steelers fans, we have suffered. And it's not his fault. It's the organizational point, because you got a plan. You got to have a succession plan, which they did not. But he was part of that problem. And that's why I said, thank God it's over. Not thank God get rid of you, we don't care about you, disappear. No, thank God it's over, because you've been asking people to watch this guy, and you as an organization has deteriorated him, if he is deteriorated in any way because of the positions you put him in, to be exposed because you didn't put the right pieces around him or you didn't have a succession plan. That's on the Steelers. It's not on Ben. But that's why I thank God.
Right.
Okay. I'll close it out by saying this. Big Ben and Mike Tomlin are second behind only Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for most wins ever by a coach quarterback duo. Extreme.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Really impressive. Matthew Stafford spent much of his career in Detroit, putting up great numbers with no postseason success. Cut to a trade that sent the 13-year NFL vet to the Rams, and Stafford finally gets his first playoff win last week against the Bucs. Now to get a second, he and the Rams have a tough test in their divisional foe, 49ers, who have beaten the Rams in their last six matchups. Here's Stafford on that game.
Obviously, a lot at stake. We know that. Playing a really good opponent that's playing, you know, as good a football as anybody in the NFL right now. So it'll be a big challenge for us, but we're excited about the opportunity.
Sam Acho back here with us. Acho, talk to me. Matthew Stafford, is he a top five quarterback right now?
Right now, he is. Right now, he absolutely is. I mean, let's just talk about just the statistics. Number one, he's second in touchdowns this year. He's third in passing yards. He's fourth in QBR. So statistically speaking, in a lot of areas, he's top five. And yes, he does have the 17 interceptions, which is tied for the lead in the NFL. But we have to remember this. This is his first year in this offense. First year in a new offense with new players, new weapons, new schemes, new ways that you call plays, and he's still learning it. So think about if this is where he's at right now, imagine where he's going to be in year two. We all saw the jump of Tom Brady from year one to year two. And so obviously you got guys like Aaron Rodgers in the conversation, the top five. You got guys like Tom Brady. You got guys like Mahomes and Josh Allen. Obviously those are all in the conversation. But what Matthew Stafford has done in year one, right now, still in the playoffs, right? The question is right now, playing at the highest level. And oh, by the way, in the last minute of the last game against Tom Brady, he makes two perfect throws to help his team win. You have to have him in the conversation of top five. Now, if he loses against San Francisco, obviously people are going to say that he's not. But if he wins, makes it to the Super Bowl, right? That's not me. But people are going to say, that ain't me. That's not me. I wouldn't say that. I would not say that, Stephen A. But people would. You would.
But here's my problem with you.
Let me be straight up. You would say that. I wouldn't say that.
Listen to me. This is the problem with your argument. I'm trying to help you, brother. You understand what I'm saying, Acho? Listen to me. You said he's in the top five. That's how you started the conversation. And then you ended it by saying, he could be. No, those are two different positions. You said he was in the top five when you started, and then you ended it by saying, well, if he does this, he could be. That means he ain't there yet. That's what the hell that means, and it means you know it and you tried to be slick. Doesn't work on first take, my brother. Doesn't work on first take. Let me tell you something right now. Call me after he beats Jimmy Garoppolo this weekend. Because if he don't, he damn sure ain't in no top five. Okay, he ain't no top five. He can't beat Jimmy Garoppolo. You know Jimmy Garoppolo outplayed him when they played, what was it, January 9th? I mean, you know he outplayed him that day, right?
Yeah,
Jimmy
week
G threw for over 300 yards. Jimmy G threw for over 300 yards. Drove him downfield, came back from a 17-0 deficit. What?
Even though Jimmy G outplayed him that day, even you wouldn't say Jimmy G is a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford,
no,
right?
So the only
reason I brought
right.
up the point, the only reason I brought up the point of will the conversation might change if he loses is because people like you would say, well, he couldn't beat Jimmy G, so he's not a top five quarterback. But if you look at the statistics, if you look at what he's done, look at what he's done his whole career.
Am I going to get 10 states?
Nobody.
Am I going to get 10 states? Because what you're doing is you're taking up time so I can't come at you. You think you slick. You ain't getting slick, Sam.
Go ahead.
So when we talk top five, we ain't going to put him ahead of Tom Brady. We ain't going to do that, right? We even though he just beat Tom Brady, we ain't going to put him against Tom Brady. We ain't going to put him against Aaron Rodgers, even though we're frustrated with what we saw from Aaron Rodgers. We ain't going to put him against Aaron Rodgers, right? We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that, right?
Yep.
We ain't going to put him against we ain't going to put him ahead of Patrick Mahomes, are we? We ain't going to do that.
Nope.
We ain't going to put him against.
Absolutely not.
And after that, I I don't know if we could put him ahead of Josh Allen. I don't know if we could put him ahead of Joe Burrow. And so I'm looking I'm looking at that right now. Now, what I will concede is this.
Okay.
He getting the Super Bowl, mind you. You beat Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, and then you handle business against Jimmy Garoppolo, against that San Francisco defense, really. You handle business against them, okay? Even though I still probably wouldn't do it. I mean, if he goes out there and balls out, throw for 300, 400 plus yards and do that kind of stuff, okay, we can have a different discussion. But today, considering what Jimmy G did to him 3 weeks ago, today, hell no. You got to win this game Sunday. You got to win this game. Then we can have this question. So, we can have this discussion.
It sounds like you're saying to me, or at least saying the same thing that I said. I heard the conversation we're not going to put him in front of all these people. Then you said, we may concede if something happens, right?
I said we can have that discussion.
You may concede if he goes and wins. But you used the word concede. That was a specific word you used. You said, we may concede if he goes to the Super Bowl, beats Jimmy G, and maybe wins a Super Bowl. That was the word that you used and the point that you made. Concession, right? I would be making a similar concession that he wouldn't be in the top five if he goes and loses. But the names that you mentioned, in Mahomes, in Brady, in Rodgers, in Allen, I'm with all of those. But then Burrow, you said too. Burrow, and even you, though you love Cincinnati and their weapons, you don't even think that Joe Burrow is going to beat Patrick Mahomes. You don't even think that's going to happen.
Stop.
You said it a couple times.
Stop. But don't just say that and not leave out why. I said I think it's going to be a shootout, but I think Patrick Mahomes will pull it out. In other words, I think that Joe Burrow is going to show up at Arrowhead Stadium and ball out. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to ball out. I got to give love to Zach Taylor and his staff. I think they've done a hell of a job, and we know that I've been a critic of the Cincinnati Bengals in the past, but it turns out they listened to me. They made the coordinator, they made the coaching change, and now look what's happening. They finally want to play.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Despite interviewing for multiple head coaching opportunities, Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn is staying in Dallas. Sources telling our Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini on Thursday. Now, within the past hour, Jerry Jones requested to appear on a Dallas radio station and was asked about Quinn. Take a listen.
Are you saying that Dan Quinn was offered a head coaching job somewhere else and you talked him into staying and being a coordinator?
I believe that very much. I know this. He is staying and being our coordinator for years to come. And so I know that he was the busiest coordinator out here being interviewed for jobs. And, yes, I would say that specifically. It's a real compliment to Mike. It's a compliment to us. It's a compliment to the organization.
You know what? You two are so similar. He's so dramatic, just like you. The busiest coordinator, building it up. It's very Stephen A. Smith. Your reaction?
Here I go again. Ryan Clark, to augment the point that I made earlier about Big Ben Roethlisberger, even after I said thank God, two segments later, I was defending his resume against Eli Manning. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Now here we are about Dan Quinn. Ladies and gentlemen, I respect Dan Quinn. He did a hell of a job as a defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Can somebody tell me what the big deal is here? Dan Quinn's career record as the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons was 43-42. Dan Quinn took them to the Super Bowl in year two with an 11-5 record. Year three, they were 10-6, got bounced out in a wild card game or divisional playoff game, one or the other. They didn't make the conference championship game. And then the next two seasons, he didn't have a winning record. He was 7-9 both years. And then the year he got fired, he was 0-5. What am I missing? What am I missing? I mean, it's just little old me, Ryan Clark. Okay? I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude that's been covering sports for 30 years. Okay. I mean, what do I know?
I know what you're missing.
What do I know?
But I'll let RC respond.
All I'm trying to say is, my God, y'all. My God. Dan Quinn is a good coach who did a hell of a job coaching the defense of the Dallas Cowboys because he was a welcomed reprieve from Mike Nolan, who should have never had the defensive coordinator job the year before Dan Quinn arrived. But in the end, when people talk like, oh, my God, Jerry has taken this position, and you see Jerry bloviating about him and all of this other stuff, it's like, really? Really, that's what we're doing?
Stephen A., this defense had the most points allowed in the NFL.
What?
And then the following year, they had most takeaways and some other stats that this is just from the dome, so I don't remember. RC, don't you think it's the fact that he should be a head coach and that's why Jerry's, sticking his chest out because he was able to retain him as a DC?
You know what? I don't know if he should be a head coach. I think he deserved the opportunity to interview for jobs.
Yes.
We have seen in the league that they will, most times they will retread a coach if they can't get the hot coaching name or if they can't find their piece. They'll get a coach who's been a head coach before in the league and has had some success, which Dan Quinn did. Dan Quinn took the Atlanta Falcons to a Super Bowl. They were a quarter away from beating the New England Patriots. And then you do go and you see the turnaround he makes with the Dallas Cowboys. And what happens is organizations and executives go, oh, hell, I forgot Dan Quinn could coach, right? Because Dan Quinn had to do something as a defensive coordinator before getting the Atlanta Falcons job that made him a candidate then. So I think sometimes people are reminded. Now, for what I've heard and for what I know, the Denver job was an attractive job to Dan Quinn. They ended up giving that job to Nathaniel Hackett. And so I'm thinking maybe he couldn't find his fit. I'm not necessarily sure if he was offered. But when I hear Jerry say, I believe he was offered. I kind of call BS on that, right?
Yes.
You either know he was offered or you don't. I call BS on, I believe he was offered. I feel like, kind of like Molly said, he's drumming this up to make this a little more dramatic than it needed to be.
Yes.
You know, yes, he interviewed, but he didn't get the job or he didn't take a job. So, of course, he's going to come back and be the Dallas Cowboy defensive coordinator. You also don't know if he's going to be your defensive coordinator for years to come. And so I think that this is a little bit of Jerry pumping the Dallas Cowboys up a bit, but it's keeping the coaching staff in place to set it up to give it to Sean Payton the next year.
See, and that's where I wonder. Because if you're keeping the same coaching staff in place, why would Sean Payton want to come there when Sean Payton is just coming as a coach with no say? Because you ain't going to have power in management because that's Jerry and them, and you ain't even picking your own staff. I don't know about that.
I know. I think Sean will get to pick his own staff. But what I'm saying is, imagine firing Mike McCarthy now and getting a new head coach. You wouldn't necessarily think that Jerry Jones would just fire that coach to get Sean Payton a year out.
Yeah, but
now
said,
you've given Mike McCarthy 3 years.
But he said Dan Quinn's around for a long time.
Well, he also said in this radio appearance that Mike McCarthy's status was never in doubt. And on Sean Payton, let me get this quote. When he was asked about him, is there pressure on Cowboys coaches knowing Payton is out there? He said, not at all. I think a lot of Sean, but there's going to be somebody other than Sean winning the Super Bowl this year. There's no one person indispensable as far as winning the Super Bowl.
Dallas Cowboys did not win a playoff game, just like I said they wouldn't, all year long.
Okay.
You ain't going to win a playoff game when they were rolling through the NFC East. I said, they won't win a playoff game. When they were the nail biter with Tampa, I said, they ain't going to win a playoff game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I said it then. I said it all year. And it.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Came to fruition, and still here we are, acting like they making news because you kept the dudes. Think about that. They're news because you kept the dudes that lost.
It's time to get you paid. Were you the person that wrote it's time to try to get you paid? You will get paid. It's Molly's Deal, Conference Championship Edition. Let's go. Hater to my right. In the AFC, we got a showdown between two of the young star quarterbacks. Who's going to have more passing yards, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes by a nose. I think Joe's going to give it to Mixon a little bit more. Patrick Mahomes will throw it a little bit more, but Joe Burrow's going to get his. It's going to be tight, but I'm going with Mahomes.
All right. Travis Kelce played a huge role in the game versus the Bills to get to the Chiefs, to this game, excuse me. Will he score a touchdown this weekend?
Of course he will.
We got Tyreek Hill versus Ja'Marr Chase. Who's going to have more receiving yards?
I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase. Burrow's going to target him. Kansas City secondary has to prove to me they can do something about it. I don't like the way they've looked. And Ja'Marr Chase is a star.
All right, and now we get to our NFC matchup. OBJ definitely fitting in nicely in L.A. Will he have five or more catches, Stephen A.?
I believe he will, because I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to at least try to do a better job of keying on Cooper Kupp. I think that's going to free OBJ up a little bit more, and he'll have more than five catches in this game.
All right, last one. Will Matthew Stafford have 300 or more passing yards?
No. I think San Francisco's defense is going to be ready. They're going to pressure him. And in order for the Rams to win this game, their defense is going to have to step up and completely neutralize Debo, Kittle, and, of course, Jimmy G.
Who's winning the game?
I'm going with the Rams. I think it's going to be close, but I think the Rams are going to find a way to pull this out, something along the lines of 28-24.
And you're going Kansas City too, right?
I'm definitely going Kansas City. Even though I love what I'm seeing from Cincy, I think the offensive line is going to make a mistake. They're going to put Joe Burrow in jeopardy. Kansas City's going to capitalize one way or another. It's going to be a nail bite. I think they're going to win something along the lines of like 38-35.
All right, let's go to the association real quick before we say goodbye for the week. Did you see the Lakers-Sixers game?
Yes, I did.
Melo got a little fired up with a fan. What was your reaction to that whole incident?
I didn't know what happened, but I will tell you this. I have known Carmelo Anthony for over 18 years. That is not him. You said something. Now, they said they were calling him boy, boy, boy on purpose. And you don't talk to a brother like that. I'm just telling you, we take it differently. And Melo definitely takes it differently. You disrespect him, he's going to step to you. But I would like to tell the world, again, I've known Melo for over 18 years. His character is not to be questioned. He would not do something like that unless he was highly offended and he felt completely disrespected by someone like they crossed the line. He truly is Melo. He lets things rub off his shoulders. He doesn't say a lot. He doesn't bother people. He's universally respected in the professional sports world. He doesn't roll like that. You cross the line if he came at you like that. You cross the line.
Fair enough. Since we have a little more time, I want to go back to that Aaron Rodgers story and obviously his offensive coordinator, Hackett, being hired as the head coach for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Stephen A., I want to ask you this. We think he's leaving Green Bay potentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Possibly.
Do you think there's another team in the mix other than Denver? Like, could you see the Steelers going in and making a run? Because there's quite a few teams that need quarterbacks.
I would be ecstatic, despite how disappointed I was with Aaron Rodgers' performance in the playoffs against San Francisco. I would be ecstatic if the Steelers got an Aaron Rodgers. I would love it because I think he'd make them an instant contender. And even though I don't like the notion of somebody at his age with his level of attrition going up against the likes of Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, all within the same conference, if anybody has the ability to potentially knock all of those dudes off, it's Aaron Rodgers. He just has to show up in the postseason the way he shows up in the regular season.
But here's why I don't like the conference argument, because everyone's been saying that. He's been in the NFC, and they haven't gotten it done since 2011. So what does it matter at this point?
That's true.
Right?
Maybe playing for Tomlin would be a little bit different than playing for Matt LaFleur. I'm just guessing.
Possibly. NBA countdown tonight?
Yeah.
All right, what are you excited about?
Listen, there's a lot to talk about. Lakers, Nets, Cleveland Cavaliers, Joel Embiid, All-Stars, MVP votes, the whole bit, Jalen, Wilbon, Greeny, and of course your boy. Looking forward to it.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.